This is Phil Ferrand. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It is the 22nd, 3 days before Christmas. It's been a good week. Although, I did catch a little cold, and this podcast will be shorter than normal because I'm at the Fairgrove Post Office. I had a Christmas gift come in for my wife that apparently needed a signature. I wasn't expecting it to need a signature. And so I had to come out to the Fairgrove Post Office to actually pick it up. And then I'm heading home to get in bed. I caught a little cold at the beginning of this week, unexpectedly. And I'm just trying to get rid of it before Christmas, which would be a plan. Feels like I'm kind of on the downside of it. And in case you hear more road noise today, that's because my car was broken into on Sunday. I did something silly. I went and I purchased a new phone. That wasn't the silly part. I purchased a new phone, got myself a Galaxy Nexus by Samsung. Really nice phone. I wasn't sure about it just at first, but the more I worked with it, with the 4G, and it is a nice phone. I like it. I like it. I'm liking it more and more. So I did that, and in those early few days, Friday, Saturday, I wasn't sure. I was thinking, well, maybe I'll take it back and wait for a little longer. So I took the red Verizon bag and I left it in my car. And I went to church Sunday morning, and that was a mistake because there was a red Verizon bag in my car. People could see it, and it was just one of those things that was a crime of opportunity. I was parked on the edge of the parking lot, and somebody took probably a crowbar or something, busted out my back window, took that bag, and then basically took everything else they could just grab in the car, which was a little satchel that I had for my lunch. Happened to keep my checkbooks in it, which I won't do that anymore. And also cleaned out my glove compartment. Yeah, that, it really is making a lot of noise. So I haven't replaced the glass yet in my back window. I did put a piece of cardboard in there with plastic on it, and that rattling is the plastic that you hear. So, sound effects today. Woohoo! Anyways, so I went in, called the police, went through the whole thing, and found out some interesting things about checking accounts. I was reading one guy that said basically you should leave your checkbook home locked up, because checks are different than cards. There can be some longer lasting effects of having your check stolen than even with credit cards. So the first thing I did Monday morning was I went in and changed all my checking accounts and got that taken care of. I'm still kind of working through getting Quicken working. With bill pay, I'm still not quite there with that, and a few little things like that here and there. But, we're going to make it through. It'll be all fine. And in the process of all that, literally, I walked out, saw my car, went, okay. Walked back into the church, found my wife, said, well, sweetie, someone broke into my car, stole the checkbook. She was like, oh, no. I said, yeah, that's fine. And so we talked to one of the elders in the church, and they said, yeah, we should file a police report. So I found out who to call, filed the police report, went through all that, and then went on to lunch. It was at my mother-in-law's this week. Had a really nice lunch. My mom and dad were there, and some family friends were there, and we had a real nice time. Came home, did what I needed to do, puttering around, getting ready for the next week, and then got up Monday morning, took care of that. And I had mentioned it to my parents when I was taking them back to their house after Sunday lunch. And so my mom called, I think it was Monday night, and she said, well, we were just calling to see how everything was going. And I said, oh, it's going fine. I said, everything's fine. She said, well, You know, that's really upsetting when people, you know, do stuff like that and steal your car and steal your cards and, or your checkbooks. And I said, well, Mom, you know, I mean, these are desperate times, and, you know, people think that they can create some success for themselves by taking, but they don't really. So, you know, if that helped them out in some way, that's fine. I mean, I've changed all my accounts, so they're not going to get any money out of me. But, you know, it just happens. And she said, well, she said, you were very calm at Sunday. She said, when did it happen? I said, well, it happened before lunch. She said, well, we saw you at lunch and you were very calm and you were fine and you weren't saying anything about it. I said, well, there's not really much to say. You know, my car got broken into, my checkbooks got stolen, tomorrow I'll take care of it. And she started laughing. She said, well, you just were very calm. And I said, well, you know, Mom, I don't know that anything is gained by getting all upset and ranting and raving and going through all that kind of stuff. So, you know, we got it taken care of. It was fine. Well, then Tuesday, I went out with a buddy to eat, and we were talking about it and all that kind of stuff. And he looked at me, and as we talked about it, he said, you know, he said, that's a really unusual reaction. He said, most people would be really upset. And I said, well, it's just things. You know, I mean, even if they emptied out those bank accounts, while that would be inconvenient, it's just things. They can all be replaced eventually. And he said, well, I'm saying it's an unusual reaction. So I was thinking about that a little bit, and I was thinking about some other things that I've been pondering over the last few weeks. I won't go into a lot of detail simply because it's not really necessary, but I actually did something that caused some offense in a person. And the person was kind enough to let me know. And I won't go into a lot of detail, but I've sort of been thinking about that. And being offended is a really interesting thing. I was offended at that. I've been kind of thinking about that. And honestly, I have to say, truthfully, I was not offended that someone busted out my window and took my checkbooks. I really wasn't. In fact, a little later in the day, when my flesh was trying to kind of get me a little stirred up about it, I thought, no, I'm not going that direction. And so I just started blessing the people that had broken into my car. I asked God to watch over them and help them and, you know, speak to them, knowing that that lifestyle is not going to create an environment of success for them. I just was asking God to be able to bring people into their lives that would just help them to understand how to create an environment of success for themselves. Help them to live a life that was a creative life and not a destructive life. You know, and if the things they took out of my car could help them in their lives in any way, I was happy to release them and just bless them and say, go on your way and be in peace. But I wasn't offended at them. And, you know, it all worked out fine. All the checkbooks, everything's changed. It is interesting because at the General Council Credit Union, where I had an account, used to have an account, my account there that I had had for years and years and years and years and years and years and years, was actually set up by my parents, who were missionaries, and my account there was in the 2500s. The account number was only 4 digits long because originally the credit union was only set up to deal with missionaries, and there was a couple of thousand missionaries and your kids and stuff, and so I was in early on that game. Had had an account there forever and ever. Yeah, so it was only 4 digits. Now the account number that I have is 7 digits. So I have to relearn the account number, but it's fine. Everything's fine. Even if we had lost everything, it would have been fine. I wasn't offended. I think sometimes in our Christian experience, we think that just because we name the name of Christ, because we are a part of Him, that our entire existence should be defined in such a way that everything will work within our sphere of what is acceptable to us. And if we encounter something that's not acceptable to us, that our first recourse is to be offended. But, you know, what really is offense? When someone takes offense, isn't it really that what that person is saying, what you are doing is not acceptable to me? You do not measure up to my standard of behavior. And we like to codify that standard of behavior and make a big map for it so that we can very quickly identify whether the standard of behavior measures up to our expectations. But at the end of it, what we're really saying is, you do not measure up. You do not qualify for my standards. That does not sound like spirit to me. That sounds an awful lot like flesh. So I guess I say all that to say that in the process of our lives, as we're moving through our lives, if our first recourse is to be offended at stuff, I think we should take a second look at that. Because that's not really going to do much but alienate the people that we might have an opportunity to befriend and to create an environment of success for. Being offended at someone does not create an environment of success for them. Loving them does. Helping them to understand how their behavior is going to create failure for them, that helps. I had an encounter. I'm checking my mail. I'm actually home earlier than normal because I'm planning on going home and going to bed. I didn't think the mail would be here yet, but I just thought I would check. Actually had an encounter with an individual within the last week. And the individual told me of some activities in the individual's life that we would consider to be outside the activities that are sanctioned within the Christian walk. My reaction was not to be offended at him, although the flesh did try that. I'm backing into my garage, so I will start talking louder. My reaction was not to be offended at him, although the first thing my flesh tried to get me to say is, "Are you crazy? What's wrong with you? I told you this was going to happen." But I didn't say that. I just looked at him, and we just started talking about it. And my goal in talking with him was not to try to get him to quit his behavior, because whether he behaves that way or doesn't behave that way is his decision. My goal in talking with him was to help him understand whether or not he was creating an environment of success for himself. And once he has that understanding, you know, then it's up to him to decide what he wants to do. And we talked through it, and at one point he started nodding his head. He said, no, no, you're right. You're right. And then I went on. Now, by taking that approach, I stood a much better chance of actually communicating with him and improving his situation than I would have if I would have looked at him and said, what's wrong with you? You know, and just start berating him and condemning him because he had offended me. So as you're kind of moving through your life and people do things, you know, that might make you want to strike out at them or get back at them, none of that is really going to help anything. What's going to help is to simply love people the way God loves them, try to understand their situation, and then try to do what you can do to create an environment of success for them. Now, I know there's going to be all kinds of people that are going to say, what about when people break the law? What about when this? What about this? You know, the great thing about my life is I am not a policeman. I am not a judge. And most of us aren't. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to move through my life in kindness and compassion. And if you want to move through your life with judgment and righteousness and rule application and condemnation and offense, your choice. You go ahead and do it. We'll see where we both end up. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.